It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than taking out the trash.
Good.
You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined in studio by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe in the remote location on the side of the road somewhere. Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
He does sound far away.
Joe from the outpost.
He does. He must have his own speaker. Are you on speakerphone?
Yeah.
All right. His speaking part will be reduced this evening. Joe will only jump in when he has to yell at us. That way everybody can hear.
Well, then he'll be talking all the time.
Exactly. So, all right. On the show, comics in the news as fellow comedian and friend of the show, Mike Keegan gets banned from a theater for a tweet.
Oh, we always do. Why shouldn't he?
Yeah. Mike will be calling in later on to discuss that. Made news day.
Oh, Mike. I didn't...
Yeah, that's how Joe found it.
Oh, man.
So Joe found it, and then he sent it to me. I go, yeah. He said, well, we want to get Mike on. I said, yeah, we'll get Mike on. Why not? Last time he was talking about, like, some lingerie-type comedy show they were doing or something. We had Mike on for something.
Oh, that's right. I just thought he was talking about wearing it again.
Well, he's got the tits for it. A brown dummy was hanging from a noose as part of a Halloween display, and now it's being called a hate crime. Mattel is making gender-neutral Barbie, and they made a Day of the Dead Barbie that sparked cries of cultural appropriation. We'll do some scam busters with Ann Jackson, and on Facebook Live, which I guess we won't be having Joe with us, we'll talk about chores that can ruin your relationship.
Ooh.
So I think that'll be interesting.
Yes.
I guess the first thing I want to talk about is, so I've been, I haven't really talked about me scamming scammers in a while.
Oh, how do you mean? Well, you've been hinting about your quote unquote relationships.
I do have, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Quote unquote?
Well,
how dare you?
As
if they're not real. How dare you?
As if they're not real. Yeah, let me walk that back cautiously. Of course your relationships. Yes.
As real as yours, just because I don't drive home and bring them Wendy's doesn't mean they're not real. As real as anything Joe's got going on, just because she's not hanging out in the chat room. How dare you?
Well, you know what? I think you should get them to hang out in our chat room.
So, you know what? If they hung out in the chat room, that would be the end of the bit.
If they're smart enough to realize what we're talking about.
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no.
Okay, you can't have the scammers hanging out in the chat room.
Oh, come on. That would make it so much fun.
Yeah, like, I don't even post, because right now my scammers are on Instagram, so I don't even post about the scamming scammers clips on Instagram.
I know. How could you?
Yeah. Although, you never know. I mean, I could talk my way out of it. So here's the thing. So I've been in these, one is since the end of July, and one is the first quarter of the year.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Wait, the first quarter of
this
year?
Like the okay.
And it's come and gone, though.
No, still going.
No, wait. Well, this year is...
No, I have multiples going on. I can't be faithful to my scammers.
No, but wait, you said the first quarter of the year were...
Like,
we're
it started in the first
on
quarter.
On the third
no,
quarter.
No, it started in the first quarter.
I say, so that's half a year.
Yeah, somewhere. So, like, here's the thing. So, I got to really thinking about this one.
Yeah.
This, recently. When they're bad, and I've talked about when they're bad, because I read a little bit of one... That I did a couple of weeks ago on the show, because she's so bad. When they're bad, I don't get that invested, and they annoy me.
Yeah.
Because they're so bad at their job. You know how I can't stand incompetence?
Yes, I know.
So that spills over to like scammer world in me.
Sure.
Where it's like you, it's like you suck at being a scammer.
I have so many times heard you say, "Do better."
Yes. Yes.
Scam harder. Wait a minute. What am I doing?
It's like how does anybody send you money? You just suck at this. And the ones that really suck, they you know, they get this, you know, bounced off the platform.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But but, you know, I mean, but I have to write for the show and, you know, I lead them on and everything. But, you know, I'm not that sad when they go because, like, this was just a headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the
get
ones
that.
That are good, the ones that are good, I get, like, connected with.
They and capture your widow hot.
They do in a way.
I know they do.
They do in a way. And then you get a, like, how come they're not responding? I know they message me. And then I get depressed. And then you got to slap yourself. And then you go, well, shut up, stupid. This is fake. but
That would have to be Belinda because you got wrapped up with Belinda.
Don't use her name in that way, Joe. A little respect.
He totally did get wrapped up.
See?
Hey, Belinda and I, we share something in common. I brought her back for you people. I did bring her back for you guys.
I know.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. When they got a little something on the ball, well, Belinda I spent hours with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was new. Flory I spent hours with, but we just like torturing her.
Yes, we do.
I mean, Flory was really bad, and it was our first. So we had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, your first.
She was our first.
Yes, she was our first.
Flory was everybody's first. Yeah. Well, everybody on this show's first.
Yeah.
Flory was stupid.
Yes, but I have an affinity for certain stupid people.
Oh, and others, no.
No. I mean, like, now I probably wouldn't have the patience for Flory.
Yeah, I know.
But she was the first.
Yeah.
But I got to think, it's like, oh my, it's like, I know this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. But then I started putting myself in the place of people who don't know it's bullshit. And it's just like, it's like devastating. You're waiting by your computer or the phone.
Yep.
When are they going to message me? Minutes go by, hours go by. Days go by. It affects your mood, and sometimes I forget because I forget how devastating this can be to people.
Yeah,
and it's weird. The better looking, what?
I'm sorry. Forget about you feeling that way. How many times have we sat and laughed our asses off at something that the scammers were doing? But if it was real, it would be absolutely devastating. We're using something as a point of comedy where it could be devastating. Now, nothing wrong with that, but it just shows you where we're at or where people are at with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized, the better looking they are, the more invested I am for whatever reason.
Well, that's a natural thing.
But it's stupid because I know the whole thing's bullshit. And I'll be like, huh, I just gave her a bunch of bullshit that should have her running to me. I don't understand. Why doesn't she love me? But it's complete bullshit I fed her. It's complete bullshit. Yeah. But I'm still hurt on some level.
Why isn't my best bullshit working on this fabulous girl?
No, it's not. It's not even that. It's like, why doesn't she care? But I know. It's not why isn't it working. It's like, why doesn't she care? And I know I'm actively working to fuck up her, him, whatever. There's always a woman involved with me, so on, so on.
Sure.
I'm always working to fuck up their world. I'm actively working to fuck up their game on one side of my brain. But the other side of the brain is like, huh, I said, you know, X, Y just happened to me. I'm in all this distress, and they're not responding. They don't love me. It's so fucking weird.
But you are now, it is an immersive experience for you, just like it is for the people who are really being scammed.
I think in order to do it well, it has to be immersive.
Yeah, yeah. And you're experiencing, I mean, you're, on one hand, you're taking them for a ride because of the comedic effect, but
sure.
Also, and keeping them busy from bothering other people.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that you're acting in the part of a scammed person and just saying, you know, I mean, you realize it's not for real.
Sometimes I don't. Which is the problem.
Yeah.
Then there's the little Joe on the shoulder. Go, shut up, stupid. What are you doing?
Joe's saying something.
No, he's laughing at me.
Oh, of course.
I'm laughing at, I'm just just thinking that you sent them money and never told us.
Yes, Joe.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Joe, that's where all the money's gone.
Can you even imagine?
No, I mean, no, it doesn't get to that point. Because like I said, while I'm having these thoughts and these feelings... No, seriously. Well, I would read it if I did. While I'm having these, the only one we thought about. Well, Anthony was supposed to send money to Flory,
right?
But Pip laid out that money, and that never got repaid.
That never happened,
and she never even picked it up because we never even got that far,
right?
And the only one who possibly could have gotten money was Belinda, just for writing credit, because I because she contributed so much that it was almost like we should take something out of the kitty.
We actually considered that for five. I don't know if it was on the clips or lately, but we actually had a 3-minute discussion if we should throw our cash just on the principle of her writing material.
Yeah, like she earned it. She earned it.
Oh yeah.
But it's funny. We're at the latest stages of the relationship with on the clips now. And I listen back to them, and I forget about how badly she treated me at the end. There's a lot of her treating me kind of badly and callous lately that the clips Joe's been putting up. There's a lot of funny shit in there, too.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I forgot about that. And then I went and reached out to her. Well, why did I do that? She was a bitch at the end.
Really?
Now, when you talk about callously, is this when the old man was taking over for her?
Yeah.
Okay, it was brutal. It was brutal. It was like, you know, she was off her medication, you know?
As much as he tried, he could never break us up. But it definitely put a damper on our relationship.
Absolutely.
Hells yeah.
He strained that relationship.
He did. Well, by strained, she wasn't allowed to play with me anymore.
I know.
And he wasn't as much fun. Yeah. But there was a connection. There was a connection of friendship.
Oh, yeah, I would say.
I mean, every time we heard, like, all the video chats, when we saw each other face to face, she was just, because she ain't that good of an actress.
No, she's all giggly and happy to see you.
Yeah, so there was that. But then there's this, I'm like, ugh, I just submitted a whole bunch of shit to the New York Post to fuck up her con. And I'm upset that she's not writing back. It's like...
Well, see that shows that you're a psychopath.
Yes! Like, that's what I'm saying.
Why doesn't the girl I'm trying to fuck over want me?
Correct! Well, a friend of mine explains, like, well, you spend so much time with them.
Yeah.
But this one I haven't spent that much time with. But, I mean, we've been... Like, what intrigued me about this one was I didn't know... I wasn't buying the initial con, and I let her know that.
Yeah.
But I kept her sticking around, so that just fucked with my head. I'm like, well, why is she sticking around?
Yeah.
I'm not going for this investment scam. Why is she sticking around? And then, you know, it always reveals itself eventually. I'm not going to give up the ghost and say what's happened. But it always, things progress, and I go...
There's always something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's always something. And then you go, uh-huh, aw.
Gavin, do you like to play chess?
I don't even know how to play chess.
Okay. Now, the reason I brought that up is pretty much it's a chess game, you know? When you've got a good scammer, one that knows, you know, one that's experienced and knows how to play the game, and it just seems that when you're interacting with a good one, it's like a game of chess.
Yes.
And it's mentally challenging, and you like that. And that's why you meet when they don't respond back.
Yes, you're right. I'm like, oh, did I mess up? But I always have in my head that I can end this at any time.
Right.
You know, whereas like if somebody was really going through this, they couldn't. And I just think about like the torture of that, the emotional roller coaster, because a scammer's gonna build you up or play you until they want something, and then if you don't deliver. You know, then it gets really dicey and everything. If you do deliver, well, then they keep on. You know, we found that out with Juliana and Billy. You know how she would play him,
right?
And I mean, we saw that in real life.
Yeah, no, she was pretty brutal.
Yeah,
you know,
but they all are.
They're all ruthless.
It's like, and that's what I got to keep on remembering. Oh, wait a minute, they're trying to fuck me, and I'm trying to fuck them, but not in the real way. But
yeah.
But it's still what?
Game of chess.
It is. But it's like weird. It's like you catch yourself like, oh, we're going to run away together. It's like the biggest bullshit. Like, what are you doing, Skip? You're not going anywhere.
Well, you know what, though? In a way, it must be fun because as a married man, you can't go and, you know, you're not on the hunt anymore.
No.
And you can't, like, try out your lines.
Oh, I'm trying lines, baby. Well, I'm trying lines.
But I'm saying this isn't... This is...
Well, the
just enjoying
thing,
that.
Well, the good thing is I could be whatever... I could be whoever I want to be.
Exactly.
And I put on different persona. Like, sometimes I'm a dick. You know, sometimes I'm really... Like, I can be whatever I
sometimes
want.
Sometimes he's a dick, Joe.
No, but I mean, like, you know, like... Oh. You could be like a playboy. Like, oh, I don't give a
right.
shit. Like, I always date dimes.
You've got the Vassiolosis.
Well, no, you
down the street.
Like, every girl, I don't give a shit. I'm banging hoes on the road, getting all these dimes. Or you could be the loving, obsessed guy. You know, you could play all these things. But if you're a real person, it's you.
Right, and you're stuck with that persona that you created. Or you have the big reveal, but, and they're like, you're a psycho! You're somebody else.
But how many times, you know, talking about being a dick, how many times were you in a pleasant conversation with her, and then you just turned into a dick on a dime?
Yeah.
It was like, what are you doing? I got bored.
Well, that's what it is. That's what, like fake Davin, when I'm scamming, I have to create tumult. Because, like, in a real relationship, you would relish the calm.
Sure.
Isn't this? Yeah. But this, there's nothing but, like, you know, like typing back and forth to each other for the most part. So you got to create some tension.
Yes.
And then I think, well, I was like, you know, because I can walk away at any time with them, at any time. And I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. And there's a little hole, and then you move on. You're fine. But I'm like, well, should I send them the Davin's Den Scams the Scammers logo? Should I send them the audio that Joe does before every scammer clip?
Oh, sometimes, yes!
Yes! Because like, then you're like closing the door. It's like, oh, you think you got me? Boom.
Slam.
But then I think, but then if not, they can come back and we can rekindle the fun. So I've been messing around with that lately. Like, I don't know how to go with that.
Yeah, like, should you reveal?
Yeah, what do you guys think?
What do you think, Joe?
You know, it's fun to toy with them. It's fun to toy with them. Like when a cat plays with a toy. That's essentially what you're doing, you know?
Right, but if I send the logo or the intro music or whatever the hell, well, then the toy's dead. It's over.
Well, right, so that's your call. You know, it depends on the scammer. I mean, if you feel with this scammer, I'm done, I'm getting nothing out of this one ever again, then you send them the logo and the thing. But if it's one that you think, you know, like Belinda, something like that. She was gone for 2 years. She came back out of the blue again.
It was more than 2 years, Joe.
Like that, you know.
Joe!
You know, I wouldn't.
It was more than 2 years. I mean, we're doing clips from 2015. I just reached out to her this year. That's 4 years ago.
That's crazy.
So it depends on your feeling on that. You know, whether it's 2 years or 4 years. So it depends on the scammer, you know.
I'll tell you the one thing good about reconnecting with Belinda is she remembered how to ask for money.
Yes, she recalled.
But that was the dude. That was the dude. Because when she was face to face, I'm like, oh, you have anything you want to ask me?
Yeah.
She had nothing to say.
She had nothing for that.
No.
And then when that was over, when I'm messaging back with the dude, he's like, oh, now that we had the conversation, I'd like to ask you, like you said.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, there's a connection between you and her that whoever the dude is does not like.
I don't blame him.
He gets that you're wasting her time.
Yeah. I did.
Right.
She should
and
not be.
You're probably in the $5.99 bin, you know, looking for discounts. All right, I'll take this one. $5.99.
A little plastic slash taken out of me.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
says
yeah,
bargain
yeah.
bin.
Yeah, you're an album with the corner cut.
You're essentially that Barry Manilow cassette you bought when we were on the road last April.
How dare you drag Barry into this? How dare you? Who do you fucking think you are?
Somebody had to rerun the tape manually. That's who I am.
Well, we didn't get tuna fish sandwiches. You had to do something.
Okay, yes, sir.
But yeah, so I've just been going through this where, like, it affects your mood.
Oh, yeah.
But which it shouldn't, because I know it's bullshit. And I just really, it's like, oh, my God, people are really going through this. They really are a puppet. Not, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but somebody is really pulling their strings.
Yeah.
And it, like me, I always know the end game. Wait a minute, I'm calling the shots here. Right. I'm calling at any moment I can call bullshit on them. Go, I know. Here's your con A B C D E. I knew it all along. Bum, 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 bum. which I don't do because I haven't done because it's like, well, we can bring them back and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, it's like when a show's going off the air, you write out a cast member like in season two, but it's the final season, season eight, you bring them back. I can bring them back. But once
right.
once I give them the logo, it's like MASH. When what was his name? The original.
Oh yeah, when
he went into the ocean.
Yeah,
in the Korean Sea.
Colonel Blake.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Colonel Blake could never come back.
Right.
Whereas Radar left, and Radar was able to do Aftermath because Radar didn't die.
Right. Yeah.
This is what I
contemplate. Well, they were pissed, so they killed him. The writers.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to remember, it's an emotional connection. It's like an emotional connection to a character on TV.
Sure.
You have an emotional connection to these people, regardless if it's real. You know, when you watch a TV show and you love a character, you have an emotional connection to the character. That character's not real. This scammer is not real. But you have that emotional connection to them.
That's a very good analogy, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm smart.
I'm glad you called in.
He's much better from a distance.
You know, it is true though. You are able to, you put your hopes and dreams on a scammer that's a love scammer.
Well,
you know?
I don't.
Well,
you're talking about like a real person.
A real person. They don't know that there's anything wrong with this person, so they're saying, oh, you know. This is what I want. And, you know, if the scammer's any good, they're saying the stuff that this person wants to hear. And so they're like, this is what I wanted. But in any new relationship, because love is a drug, you end up sort of in your brain fashioning that person into what you want. And you ignore, you know, unhealthy minds. And when we're in love, we're unhealthy. You ignore red flags.
Well, that's the thing I don't have, because I'm like, every red flag I'm researching and filing away for later.
Yeah,
which I'm not bringing up now because it'll fuck up the game.
Right, but you're not genuinely in love. You're playing.
But here's the thing though. You see them adding, like in my case, a bunch of dudes. You go, you get jealous. Go, hey, what's going on? I don't like this at all.
Well, I like when fake Davin gets jealous.
Fake Davin will fuck up a world when he's jealous.
Oh yeah.
But
he's not nice.
But where fake Davin and real Davin work together in that way is fake Davin would genuinely want these guys gone.
Yes.
Real Davin wants these guys gone because he knows that nothing good can come from hanging out with these scammers.
Right.
So, I mean, there's different motivations, but the thing is the same.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just like I hadn't been scamming scammers that much mm-hmm. lately. But, I mean, I was intrigued by this one. I mean, she's still on. She might get cut loose.
It's going?
I broke up with one today. But I don't know. I don't know if she's gone.
This is a sad day for fake Davin.
She didn't like something I said. So she told me to fuck off. I go, I was kidding.
Well, please.
Now, if she told you to fuck off, would you send her the Davin Sten logo?
Well, I'm going to see where this one goes. She's not a particularly bright one, but this is the one I've been with for a long time. But, like, we would go weeks without talking, and I was fine with that and everything. Like, I'll give you a little gimmick I did with her early on. At one point, this is what you could say my complete disregard for her. At one point, I was having a whole conversation with her where I was just giving – my response was either Sammy Hagar or Van Halen or Montrose song titles.
That's what you were answering?
That was my responses. I was just going through my albums. So we have that to look forward to.
Write
something and I would go run over to a Van Halen album. Anything with Sammy Hagar was a song title. Like, I can think at one point, like, oh, I have to go. Like, she wanted money. I go, okay, I'll go get, but I can't drive 55.
Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so... So that's how you know I have no respect for them.
Right.
Well, you know, like Jane. I had no respect for Jane.
No.
I had no respect for Mary from Claverland.
I barely remember her.
Mary was the one I did before the show. I read a little bit of it where I had a Little Shop of Horrors as my pet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kid.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's no
right.
respect.
No.
No respect. But then there's this one. It's like, huh, you're full of shit. And I know you're full of shit. But I respect, because they don't write the same way. They write like a normal person.
Yeah.
So it makes me think it's a European.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's just and they've implemented voicemails.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's always a girl involved somewhere.
Yeah.
It's never been straight up dudes as far as we can tell.
No, they've got a girl on the payroll.
Which isn't always the case.
No.
Which plays with the mind fucking. Because
you're like, is this really a person?
How many times before the show have I said, you know, Pip, I don't know. Like, I know this person's a liar.
Yeah.
And I know they're bad news. But I don't know if I'm the asshole here.
Right. Well, we used to worry about that before when we were first getting started. We're like, what if this is a real person?
But we didn't worry about that with Flory.
Not with Flory.
But with Belinda.
But with Belinda, there were moments where it was like, what if she's really going through all this?
Well, when she didn't want the money.
Yeah. All of a sudden it was like,
when she revealed herself as a divorce, and we're like, this is...
Wait a minute.
But here's the beautiful thing about scammers. Give them time. They'll reveal themselves. That's really what it is.
I was just going to say that. You know, I mean, you were questioning that. But sure enough, they came back looking for money.
Yeah. And that's always like that. When that happens, it's always like a relief and like an aw. At the same time, it's like, okay, good. I'm not the asshole. This is exactly what I thought it was. Huh. I don't think they really like me after all. It's like a little fucking thing.
It's like, wait a minute. I thought that we had a thing going on and they're, wait, what? It's all pure scammer?
Then you got to remember, go, wait a minute. I'm full of shit too.
Well, yeah.
I haven't told this person anything true.
Yeah, I know, but it's still hurtful.
It is.
You know?
You guys really have to engage on this on your own.
Yeah.
Like, I would love for you guys to, like, scam your own scammer on your own, and then we can come back and do the story. Because I'd love to see how you guys got through it and deal with it and everything.
Yeah, it's just you come up with... I hit a wall when they're like, okay, we'll send money. And I'm not as clever as you about getting around that.
Oh, there's always a way to get around it.
Yeah.
It gets harder, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, on the recent clips that Joe's put up, we actually had a conversation. It's like, why'd you do that? You must have thought you were pretty much it. And I go, yeah, that was pretty much it. And I don't think it was pretty much it. But I guess I said something, like I did something.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, all right, this is it. I can't postpone the ask anymore. It's been close to a year,
right,
or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get to a point. But yeah, I am good at coming up with reasons not to.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I also can't, you know, go to, you know, live back and forth because I just, you know, when am I going to do that? I, you know, I'm at work and I can't do it at work. And, you know, then I'm driving or I'm at home.
Yeah,
and
but you
I'm
don't have to do live.
Now.
I mean, it could just be respond when you get
it's
to
gotta
it.
It's got to be email. Yeah.
No,
and that's
it's not email,
easy.
No, because there's messages on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
That's true.
I mean, that's how I do it. I'd like for you guys to be in the situation without it being part of my storyline, because Joe did it with Mavis as part of my storyline.
Right.
But it was really my story.
Yeah.
We were all working in a fake Davin and Belinda or Agnes/Belinda's world.
Right.
That's what the Mavis Dick Eldorado was. But like where it's your own thing and you create your own world and see if, I mean, even a month. I think even a month to see if you get sucked in. Like Joe would get sucked in on some level. Like, remember how much he would light up when we were doing Mavis stuff?
Oh yeah.
Like Joe's mood. I mean, this is when Joe was going through the shit. But
yeah.
Joe's mood
would brighten.
We're doing Mavis stuff? Like when I would talk to Belinda about Mavis, he would like light up.
Perk up.
He would sit upright and everything, and there'd be a little twinkle in his eyes. So even Joe got
absolutely, without a doubt. It was almost like when, you know, you were kids and you were like, you had a girl that you liked and she talked about you and stuff like that. Or maybe you wanted a date. You know, you would perk up if you mentioned something. So it was interesting. Also, when you killed Dick Eldorado off, I was a little bit pissed.
I did not kick Dick Eldorado. I did not kill Dick Eldorado. You take that back. I was Dick Eldorado and Mr. Whisker's best friend. How dare you?
I have the receipts in my phone. You killed Dick Eldorado.
I'm sorry, Joe. That upset you.
Yeah, it upset me, but it was my own fault because she also sent me correspondence that I lost.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I was pissed off because I wanted to, I was, into, once again, the emotional thing, I was enjoying that bit.
And especially where you were, because you know what? You were in a bad place in your real life. So this was like, this was like a good place. Like, here's this person giving you positive reinforcement. Completely bullshit.
Yeah.
But positive reinforcement telling you how good you are, even though you're Dick Eldorado. But yeah, I mean, it was probably filling a need on some level.
It was, I was in a very, very bad place in my life. You know, Joanne and I were through, you know, and it just, I knew my marriage was over. It was horrible at home. You know, and it's kind of, and a lot of the Dick Eldorado stuff kind of mirrored what was going on.
Well, I feel like Joanne would have left early if you wrote her that poetry.
Well, I was, how does the cat feed into this?
Because I was lonely and needed a companion.
So you made up Mr. Whiskers.
And yes, I made up Mr. Whiskers.
Yeah.
Mr. Whiskers was a fine character. He served us well.
He was a fine character. I choose to believe that Mr. Whiskers is still with us on some level.
He's with us in our hearts.
Yes.
Never forgotten, right. Mr. Whiskers. Never forgotten.
Never forgotten, Whiskers.
There's a little bit of Mr. Whiskers in all of us.
There's a little bit of Mr. Whiskers. Like, I feel like we should get a little patch of a little cat.
Yes, Mr. Whiskers.
We love
the
you.
The funny thing is I had to make Dick Eldorado as lame as I could, and naming the cat Mr. Whiskers was fucking pathetic.
No! I thought the mister gave him a mature adult quality.
A je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, I mean, I had a cat named Whiskers as a kid, but you had, I did. But,
I didn't know that.
Yes, but you had Mr. Whiskers, so like this was like an authority figure cat.
Yeah, but Whiskers is more casual. You know, hey, Whiskers, Mr. Whiskers, he's got like a title.
Yeah, exactly. No, I thought it was, and I felt like Mr. Whiskers was running that relationship with Dick Eldorado anyway.
Totally.
I thought it was appropriate.
Mr. Whiskers wore the pants in that family.
He did. And and Dick Eldorado's were around his ankles when he was corresponding with Mavis.
I know where those pants are.
But yeah, so it's just like you go through this and it's like so much less than what a person who's actually going through will.
Yeah.
But it does affect your moods, and it helped me reconnect with one of the reasons why I started doing this in the first place.
I say yes.
You know, it's like, wait a minute, there are really people. I'm doing something good. These fucking people deserve to be punished.
They do.
It helped me reconnect, but it's like, oh, fuck. It's such a fucking extra emotional thing I don't need and it shouldn't be, but I think the reason I'm pretty good at it and I can keep them going so long is because I do invest. It makes me think I'd actually be, oh, they're on to Joe.
Oh, Joe! Joe, hide! Hide behind the bushes! He's not answering. I think they got him.
But I think I'd be a pretty good actor.
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, so that's what's been going on with that. I might end all my relationships. They might go on for another 6 months.
Who knows?
I don't know. So if we had to get a vote, send the logo or don't send the logo?
Ooh, I think that you should send the logo for one of them and just see what happens.
I agree with Pip.
Send the logo for one of them that you feel that you, even if they came back, you really couldn't get shit out of them. And just go, you know, and send it to the heart and see what happens.
Yes, all right. Somebody that's not going to be a loss, you know. That
I feel like I would have to wait like a couple of weeks, like when it ended, just to see if it's over.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right.
Yeah, but
that's your call.
It's like the Davinsden version of a reload scam. It's like, gotcha! The ultimate.
Yeah, so like I feel like we'd have to say our goodbyes, however it ended.
Yeah.
And then if there's no correspondence in 2 weeks, you just send them that.
By the way.
It's like, yeah, I'm not for nothing, but... And they go, listen, we're gonna. If you want to hear how it turns out, you give them a link to the radio show.
You want to hear how this works?
Gather your friends together.
I would love to hear what they would say. Now, they might not say anything at all because they'd be so pissed. But I don't think
they would comprehend. I think Carolyn, the one with the financial scam.
Oh yeah, she would get it.
Yes, she would get it. I don't think my beautiful blonde Lacey, who's stuck in Nigeria working for a lumber company, but always needs money for some reason. I don't think she's the one that got the Sammy Hagar, the whole conversation of Sammy Hagar stuff.
Funny.
I don't think she would get it.
No.
So I might have to send it to her. Because I feel like Carolyn could actually do damage.
Yeah.
She might actually know people.
She could fuck your shit up.
Yeah. Whereas Lacey's just, you know, Lacey's the one I don't know if there's even a woman involved.
Oh, I see.
I've not. Lacey's the only one I've never been able to figure out if there's a woman involved. Everybody else, every
turn
other
her upside down.
Well, although Mary, I don't think Mary I found out either, but that was short-lived. I got so many I have to go. And we got Clara, who you guys don't even know about.
No.
That was my Twitter girlfriend from a year or so ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know what would be funny? The one, like, if you could get somebody with Photoshop, you get the Davinsden logo, and then you have a picture of Sammy Hagar on the parachute. From the VOA.
Yeah, but that would be lost on her.
Yeah.
I think the Photoshop
and
put their face on there. like how we have the logo with all the guys, you know, on the computers.
Yep.
And you just put their little face on there.
Funny. Yes.
That might happen.
That's good.
I feel like Lacey might be a candidate for that.
Cool.
So we'll see. So I went to see Sebastian Bach this past Wednesday.
And how is he?
It's well.
Good.
So I haven't seen him since I was in high school when I saw him with Skid Row.
Right.
Now, I turned you a little bit onto the Skid Row.
Yeah. The second album. The second album that you were like, oh, that's heavier. I didn't think you'd like that.
Yeah. That album holds up well.
Yeah.
It's actually a really good album. That's Slave to the Grind. So I'm waiting for my friend outside the theater, Sony Hall in Manhattan. Do you guys know where Sony Hall is?
I'm trying to remember.
No.
It's Times Square.
Okay.
Right by the Scientology place. You know the big Scientology building they got there?
No, actually.
Oh, yeah. Big Scientology. Boom. Big fluorescent lights.
Oh, good. I was wondering what to do with all my old paint.
Old paint?
Just throw it at the wall.
Oh, I got you. So here's the thing. Like, I'm waiting for my buddy Scott, and everybody's online. I was like, wow, you could tell what show they're going to. It's not like Frampton where people are coming in dockers and like normal work clothes.
Right.
These are people that got their metal shirts on. They got the metal hair, you know, like the girls are super skinny.
Yep.
It's like everybody looks like they're going to this concert.
There's a metal look.
Right. Which you're not going to get for Frampton
right.
or Aerosmith
yep.
or McCartney.
Nope.
But for Sebastian Bach and Skid Row, like, oh, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah. No, there's some bands that definitely their followers have a look.
Yeah. So, got to buy tea. Missed half of the opening act. Opening act was Cobra and the Lotus. Have you guys ever heard of them?
No.
No.
Lousy name for a band.
Yeah.
My buddy's going, oh, yeah, he's texting me. He goes, yeah, there's an opening act, Cobra and the Lotus. I go, there's two opening acts? Because I didn't know if Cobra was one act and the Lotus was another one.
They're not strippers?
Why would they be strippers?
I don't know. Cobra and the Lotus? I don't know.
No. Anyway. So they're really heavy.
Okay.
Really heavy, but they got a pretty blonde lead singer, so it's a nice thing. But, you know, here's the thing. When you see these opening acts, you know, always fuck up the sounds. So you don't know the words. So you don't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I liked them. I liked them. So I posted on Facebook a song I would dedicate to the scammers and the people who warned the scammers last week. One of the songs, it's called Get the Fuck Out. It's about it's about warning a person about a bad relationship that this person is poison and it's not going to end well for you.
Nice.
And the chorus is Get the Fuck Out.
Yeah. So, I like that.
It's a really good tune. It's much more, now it's not soft by any stretch, but it's much more melodic than a lot of their tunes. Right. They kind of reminded me a little bit of Avenged Sevenfold. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but they're a really heavy band,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, they're so, pretty good.
Yeah,
sorry,
so
I'm lost on that.
I downloaded some of their stuff and everything. It's cool. I like Cobra and the Lotus.
Okay.
But, yeah. So here's the thing about Sony Hall. I have not been to a venue, whether it be sporting or music, in years where you didn't go through a metal detector, you didn't get wanded.
Yeah. This place you didn't?
You didn't. This is right in Times Square.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Very unusual these days.
I mean, and it's a club, so I mean, somebody could walk in with a gun, a knife, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and here's how dangerous it is. So, it's mostly standing room. You stand on the dance floor. It's one of those. And they, you know, they have a bar, of course. And usually in these clubs, they serve everything in plastic cups.
Right.
Fucking glasses.
What?
On the dance floor. Everything's in glass. Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's what I said.
Well, are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. This is no, you or none of the peacocks are on your shirt. Am I kidding?
Yes. All right, girls. It's real.
She's wearing her veterinarian attire. Like, I feel like this is what a veterinarian would wear, like, right before they, like, give your cat some shots or something. She's got her peacock smock on tonight.
I got peacock feathers, and they're all looking straight at Davin.
They most certainly. We'll see this on Facebook Live. You'll look forward to it. But.
Nice.
I thought this. I'm like, wow. So you can walk in with weapons, and we can just have glasses all over them. And these are heavy glasses.
Yeah, they could screw you up.
Yeah, like you could get cracked in the side of the head, or somebody just drops it.
Yeah.
So we're all crammed in there. He drew very well.
Wow, good.
But I'm thinking, you know, I'm standing going, I can't do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
How many times have I said this? I can't be the one standing. I need a seat. I don't want to pay an extra $25 for a seat. And the seats weren't that good because you're off to the side and people are standing in front of you anyway.
Right.
So it's not like you're raised up and go, oh, I'm seeing great.
Nope. So you're looking at butts.
Yeah, everybody smushes in and I'm not that tall.
Yeah.
I can't do this. But I will say this. Lot of energy from Sebastian Bach. A lot of energy.
Good for him.
Still sounds really good.
Really?
Well, he's 51, so he's about 15, 20 years younger than most of the people that you and I and Joe, to a lesser degree, are seeing at this point.
Right.
But sounds good. And so he's singing, and the audience is singing, like, every song, because he's playing the whole first album.
Wow.
And they did some other stuff. But they're, like, singing everything. It's like, wow, this is really good energy. But it's, like, weird. It's like, you know, do you have... I could see it. Like, he hasn't been with his band since, like... the mid-90s, Skid Row. Skid Row's off doing their thing, and Sebastian Bach is doing his, and they don't want to work with him, and he wants to work with them. I could see how he could be annoying.
Okay. Why? His personality on stage?
Yeah, his personality. You know, somebody pointed out who'd seen him, he laughs at his own jokes. and like, he felt the need to, like, run down, like, the other lead singers have been in Skid Row since him.
Oh, no.
And it's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, there's no need for that.
But what I did like is, like, he goes, yeah, you know, I'm getting older. And he goes, well, so are you fuckers. Like, he goes, yeah, but you guys can hear I'm still hitting the high notes. I can still hit the high notes. I'm not like these bands that need the computer on stage, this, that, the other thing. So he's trashing those bands a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's talking shit about other people. What are you doing?
But here's the funny part, because you can't hear it in my voice. But I need my reading glasses to see my set list. He's like, but I can't, which is great. He's like, but I can't come out here and wear my reading glasses to do the show.
Right? I know.
I thought that was a great admission.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
What's funny is when I went to go see Iron Maiden, I'm sitting next to this guy, and he passes me this thing, and he goes, hey, you want a piece of a pretzel? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I go, you remember when it used to be a joint? You know, it used to be a joint. I was passing a pretzel around.
That's kind of fucked up right there.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, pass the pretzel. Don't Bogart the pretzel.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So, Then he's like explaining, like, yeah, it's like, well, this is what a record is. It's a device or something that, you know, stores music on it. And he's like talking about. So after he sings, like, all of side one, he goes over to the record player. He flips over the record. He had, like, a record.
Funny.
And he goes, I always wanted to be like Johnny Fever on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then he sings the WKRP in Cincinnati theme song, and everybody sings with him.
Oh, that's cute.
I thought that was really cool.
I like that. I like that when, you know, like, you have the audience in the palm of your hand.
He
and
had
they're
the
all
audience
playing
in
along.
The palm.
Yep.
I mean, the audience, it was, I'm like, wow, there's really a lot of fucking energy for this dude.
Yeah.
They're really happy to see him. Like, it probably stands about 1,000 people or so.
Right, but they were loving him.
Yeah, and he puts on a great show. He had the original, drummer up there with him for a tune, who I did not know is not in the band anymore. He left in the 90s too. Rob Fusco, I think, is his name. So he played a tune with him.
It's really adorable the way you're saying it to me, like I would know.
No, I don't. yeah, but he's a drummer. You might know other stuff he's in.
True, but I don't.
Along.
Yeah, Joe knows.
Thank God for Joe.
Yeah, you're not the only one here tonight, stupid.
Yes, I am, actually.
No, well, true. But, I mean, Joe's here with his voice is here with us.
His disembodied voice. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, so...
Thank you.
I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, what are these guys fucking doing? I mean, he's playing to 1,000 people. Skid Row probably isn't even playing to that, to be honest with you. Nobody gives a shit about Skid Row without Sebastian Bach. I mean, they're a Jersey band, but we all know in so many of these cases, the lead singer is so much.
It's so much of the part of the what makes the band its identity.
And Sebastian Bach was really a dynamic lead singer. He was a very pretty man back in the days. He was 19 when that album broke.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, he was like, you know, time has not been kind, but but he was real.
He looks like Drew Barrymore now.
How dare you? She does not look like that. How dare you, sir?
Okay. Right.
Wow, he's just fucking throwing legends under the bus.
I know.
You.
Ow.
How dare you?
Joe's bitter tonight.
Joe don't like Drew Barrymore unless she's in a closet with stuffed animals. That was E.T.
I had to think about it for a second, to be honest.
So, but I'm thinking, like, what are these guys fucking doing? Like, you know what? Just eat some humble pie. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, Sebastian's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you got another lead singer. But you guys could really be, like, doing some festivals and some stuff. You could probably do some arenas co-headlining shit with some other bands or going out with, like, Poison or certainly Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Like, you – or Guns N' Roses. Like, you could go out with these bands or you could be headlining festivals if you guys would just get your shit together. Because people – I mean, that first album is a great album. That second album is heavy. Still holds up.
That was good.
The third album, Subhuman, nobody gives a shit about.
It was Subhuman.
But
the guys in Duncan hate each other. But however, they threw them a shitload of money to go to Japan, so they all just bit their lip and did that tour. And this was a year and a half ago. This wasn't back in the day.
Yeah, well, you know, I will remember the days where Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were almost coming to blows. They were really just so sick of each other. They were still making records and touring.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even Aerosmith, they broke up. And, you know, and you look at Van Halen's like a perfect case. I mean, eventually they got together with David Lee Roth, but they waited so long.
Yeah.
And it's like, get together with Sammy Hagar. I mean, if Eddie Van Halen is sick, I get it.
Yeah.
But if not, it's like, make the money.
Right.
It's like, yeah. You know what? Somebody pointed out, you know, in this day and age, you don't even have to see each other until you're on stage. Everybody goes in their own tour bus. They got their own fucking green rooms. You don't have to record. Look at Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses said, fuck it, we're going to do it together. That now they're headlining stadiums. This tour's been going on for like 3-4 years. They're going to write new music together. Just fucking do it. The Eagles did it. I mean, not that Skid Row is on the level of Guns N' Roses or the Eagles.
Right.
But it's like, what are you fucking doing?
Well,
make the money.
Sometimes, though, I know that I'll be bucking against the current thought, but there is something, not that the people that we just talked about, there is something about artistic integrity sometimes.
But this isn't about artistic integrity.
About it with these guys.
No, this is like, we don't get along. He's an asshole, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Sebastian Bach probably has frontman disease. What is it, frontmanitis?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I guess.
I get it. He's probably fucking annoying.
Oh, sure.
He's probably always on 12, and I get it. But you know what?
I'll give you something on a lesser level. Like I was saying before, like the fans of the show don't know, I'm in the car because I'm going to Awake. One of the drummers I played with in my band, Sexy Susan, passed away. And he was a great, he was a sweet guy. And in music, there are a lot of assholes. And, you know, going with Sebastian Bach, man, maybe after 4 shows, you can't take any more of this guy. And he probably said the money's not even worth it.
Well, that's what they've always said, that it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I kind of think it is. And you know what? It'll make the fans happy.
Well, it makes the fans happy. If you aren't doing anything else that's more worth it to you, either financially or artistically.
Well, they must love what they're doing artistically.
Yeah. I mean, then go out and do it and make yourself some money. If you don't need the money, give the money to charity.
Well, that ain't gonna. Nobody's putting up Sebastian Bach for charity.
I'm just saying, you know what? It's you're putting other people to work, your crew. You know, the rest of the band, maybe the guys that didn't write the songs aren't making the same kind of royalties. Just do it.
I'll tell you, it was better than I expected. It was a really good show. I would say, he said something about, 25 Years a Slave to the Grind is coming up.
Wow.
Now, Pip, I ask you, I played a little bit of Slave to the Grind for you. You dug it. Would you want to see them play that? Would you go with me to see that album, Slave to the Grind?
You know, I wouldn't have until, like, you know what? If I can go, I would go.
He's good. You would like him. You're like me. You like a captivating front man.
I do.
You like a front man that can bring it all together. Now, there was points he talked a little too much, but it's like, you know what? He's probably fucking tired. He's playing an hour and a half.
Yeah, you got to catch your breath a little bit and just like, you know.
You would dig him. You'd find him a little annoying. But you would dig him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really thrilled with guys who are so much ego. It gets on me after a little while, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he can sing. He can hit the highs, and you know what? A lot of the singers we're seeing can't.
Oh, I know.
Somebody in Aerosmith took a shot, like at Steven Tyler, goes, well, he's not really hitting. There's certain notes that he can't hit anymore. He's having trouble, which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It happens, you know?
But, I mean, he's 20 years younger than these guys.
Yeah, so he's still able to do it.
Would you want to go, Joe?
Yeah, you know what? It's like the album is good. I like those guys, Skid Row, but even more so, I like Sebastian Bach.
I didn't know that.
He could sing like a monster, you know, so... Yeah, I would go just because I like him.
Slave to the Grind is definitely a headbanging album. Now, I mean, the thing about that one is I really like the first album. And when the second one, Slave to the Grind, is a much heavier album,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like that as much. I'm like, oh, it's too heavy. But this is the fucking 90s. I was all into hair metal and shit, and that was starting to phase out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is too heavy. I mean, I had the album, but that album actually holds up better.
Well, you know, it's really funny because it's all a matter of, you know, experience. And I remember when people thought that the Ramones were really heavy. And now it's like, you know, they're kind of charming and, you know, poppy punk now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's how music evolves.
Yeah. And how we've just gotten used to like deeper and heavier and louder and rah, kill your mother.
There was a time when I never would have listened to Avenged Sevenfold. Now I got like a bunch of their albums.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
I mean, now they were on the bargain bin at Walmart and, you know, Best Buy and shit. But you know how I got into them was this past year they had a single on the rock stations, like I think it's Hail to the King, which is one of their fucking which was like a catchier one.
Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah. So I got into that, and then you go, oh, well, none of their other stuff is like this, but I still like it. It's like, I think Joe and I might have been listening to a lot of it in my car. I might have had a lot of Avenged Sevenfold on when we were doing the Louisville run.
Fragile Sky rehearsal, Michael played some tunes while we're setting up.
Yeah,
you know, just getting them all. And he was playing events. He was playing events one day, and it was really. Who are these guys? And it's Avenged Sevenfold. I go, they're really good.
Yeah, it's another band that's like really heavy, but their lead singer can like do melodies too.
Yeah,
you know, where it's not. Like, there's a lot of songs where they're just screaming. You can't understand what they're saying. But then once in a while, they'll mix in the heaviness with the melodic voice. Go, oh, that's really cool. Well, I think it elevates the band.
That's why I love Chris Cornell, because they could be really heavy, but he always brought it with the melody and just the quality of his voice. And then when he would multi-track his voice, it was like, oh my God! You know, if you listen to Black Hole Sun, I mean, he's obviously singing the melody and the harmonies with himself, but then if you listen carefully, you can hear him like screaming along with it too. It's hard to scream in key consistently.
Yeah, I would think it would be.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, wow, that, you know, that brings that, well, you need, for me, I need a good melody.
And then I think System of the Down is another one of those bands, because that guy's got a really good...
And they got melody. Any band that you listen to has to have melody. You listen to some of the heaviest band, Maiden, you know?
Yeah, but I'm like, but you like Rammstein, and I don't really think of them as having much melody, to be honest with you, Joe. I think of them being really heavy and a guy on a fucking treadmill playing keyboards when I think of Rammstein.
But they do have melody.
I haven't heard that song yet. You'll have to send it to me so I can listen to it, because everything I've heard of Rammstein is heavy, which is fine, but I just don't think of them as having much melody.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing before we take our break and we let Joe pay his respects and bring Mike on is I'm at my sister in law's this past week on Sunday for Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Hanukkah Tova.
Thank you. So all different topics came up. So my niece, who just graduated Yale,
wow,
as a midwife. She went to graduate school for Yale.
Wait, what?
She's a midwife.
A midwife.
She went to Yale to be a midwife?
Well, that's for graduate school. I think she went someplace else for undergraduate. Yale was graduate school.
I mean, I'm going to plead complete ignorance here. I didn't know that you had to go to school to be a midwife.
Apparently you do.
Oh, well, all right.
Yale.
Yeah, Yale.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And I think they wound up paying for everything, too. Full ride.
Wow. She is only helping people pop out the premium of babies.
Yes.
Wow. I'm impressed.
But that's not the point of the story.
Okay, but I still was impressed.
Yeah, no, she's an impressive girl. As well you should be. She's an impressive girl. 25 years old, I think. So she's got a roommate.
Okay.
This is why I bring this up. I posted this on my Facebook page. Her roommate uses cloth toilet paper for when she pees. Not for pooping. Pooping, you get the regular toilet paper. But cloth toilet paper. And then she puts it, like, in a bucket with, like, I guess vinegar or some solution. And then she'll, or like a trash can type of thing. Something with a lid of some sort on it.
Okay.
And then she'll.
Make sure you don't wash your face there.
And then she'll wash it whenever, I guess, she's out of cloth. And I thought that was gross. Of course, my sister-in-law.
You're right.
Yeah, I am right. My sister-in-law, of course, like, oh, well, like, I'm the bad person because I think it's gross. I'm like, nay, I think most people would think this is gross. I mean, I go, listen, there's certain privileges to being a first world nation. This is one of them. This is the privilege.
Oh, the horror!
Right? Like,
uh-huh.
And here's the thing. It's actually not unclean, but in my head it is unclean.
Oh, no.
Pip is freaking out.
No, shaking.
The peacock eyes are blinking at me, Joe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
It's too far. It's too much,
it's
right?
It's too much. Wait. So you have this cloth, and now you just peed, so you're wiping your undercarriage here.
Yep.
And you're putting it in the bucket of vinegar, and you're going to grab it out of this bucket of vinegar and use it again next time you pee?
No.
Oh.
No, use a different cloth.
Wait, so.
Use a fresh cloth every time you pee.
Oh, wait, okay. All right, wait. I'm back. Okay, the panic is backing down.
The threat level is down to 3.
The panic is subsiding.
Remember after 9/11 how we had the different colors, how the Bush administration gave with the different colors of the threat level?
Yeah.
And we were like at orange, which was like right below red. That's where Pip was. We were at orange, edging into red, but now she's back down to yellow.
I'm back. How appropriate. Yeah,
she's not a green, Joe, but she's easing from orange into yellow.
I think it's so appropriate we're at yellow. Yeah.
The only thing yellow is that bucket in that house.
Joe's girl is jumping in and saying, like cloth diapers without the poo. Yeah, I'm kind of getting the idea now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, babies are dead. That's the comparison we use cloth diapers. First of all, babies can't fucking complain. Second of all, what they're shooting out, let's be honest, is different than what adults are shooting out.
Well, now, we're just talking about pee, though.
Just talking about pee.
Okay, because if we were talking about poop, No.
She's not an animal.
No. But, all right, I can wrap my mind around using the cloth, putting it in something that's going to make it, like, not stinky, washing it thoroughly, and using them again. I could be okay with that.
Really?
Yes, I could be okay with that.
Yeah.
I was afraid you were reusing.
No, I mean, I see logically why you could.
Because I was like, when it's done or no.
I think this, and we're going to talk about it on the Facebook Live portion of the show.
Okay.
Things that can end relationships. I think this is a relationship ender. I told my niece, I go, she's going to die alone. Or she will. This is her. Because here's the thing. All right, you start dating. You're into them. She invites you over to the house. You go. you go, oh, can I just use the bathroom? Use the bathroom. Hey, what's that little? Or God forbid, you don't even ask what that little bucket is. You pick up the bucket of pee rags. You go, what are you, a hoarder of piss?
Why would you pick up the bucket of pee rags?
Because people always sneak through in the bathrooms. I mean, they had a Seinfeld episode on this. You know.
Yeah, but why are you going to the bucket? You know, no good can come of whatever's
in
that bucket.
Yeah, no, because some people keep toilet paper in canisters.
Oh,
maybe,
true.
Maybe you need some toilet. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, nobody wants to date the girl that keeps piss next to the toilet. And I'll tell you another thing. If you are keeping your piss next to the toilet, I don't want to hear you bitch because I missed the toilet.
Yeah, really.
All bets are off because you know what? I'm not good at this. You have options.
Well, first, her dying alone. For every hippie boy, there's a hippie
girl. No, well, then how filthy? Who wants to date this fucking filthy animal? What's he have, gnats in his hair? Fuck him.
Well, you know, listen.
Well, it's like my family relative came over the house, and I go up to the family farm, and I go, yeah, you want to use the bathroom? Yeah. And I go, I'll go outside. And I'm like, I have a bathroom. I live in a complex. What are you doing? I don't want to use water.
Yeah, those people, they're like, no, I'm just going to piss on the side of the house. Nay.
No.
There's no reason. But going back to the using water, then my sister-in-law jumps in. Not her mother, but one of the sister-in-law jumps in and goes, yeah, you know, when I pee, I don't flush. So, the pee just stays. I go, well, listen, because I'm sleeping over. When I come back from the Bahamas, that night I come back, I'm going to sleep at her house because it's by the airport. Then the wife is going to get me the next morning.
Right.
But I go, you know, can you fucking flush when I'm there?
Yeah, right. I think that if that's your policy, when you have company, flush. Because if your own family is okay with seeing your pee, you don't have to share that with others.
But even when I'm alone, I'm peeing every time. I mean, I'm flushing every time. I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am. Listen, I know it wastes water. But you know what? So be it. Water can be recycled. It goes up to the clouds. It comes down as rain. It fucking regenerates this water.
Yeah, but you know what? That's kind of a first world look at it.
You know what? I'm a first world type of guy.
I know, but you know, there really is.
You're talking to the guy who won't go camping. So yeah, this is, you know, I don't like going to a hotel with a shitty continental breakfast. You know, I have certain standards.
Oh, I get you. I'm not. I know where I live and how I live.
When Joe and I stay in a shitty motel in Flint, that's me fucking camping.
Yeah, camping would be an upgrade.
Yeah, me camping is tolerating Joe watch Ice Road Truckers till all fucking hours of the evening. That's me camping. Yeah.
Well, I told you, you know, Mr. Helix and I went up to, what is it, Pulaski, New York, which is almost Canada.
I think Joe works for Pulaski, New York.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Pulaski.
Yeah, close. And our friends were staying on the farm, like in tents and such, at this place that everybody went. We got a motel room, and there was a sign up that said no fish cleats in the room, and because fishermen use this place. So we were like, that was camping for us. We're like, oh my God, people clean fish in this room. But we didn't smell it or anything, but no. I mean, like, that's where we were staying. But we weren't out with the bugs in the blueberry bushes, peeing in the bushes. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Let's bring this back around. For me, that's a deal breaker in a relationship. If I'm, you know, you got to be really hot. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be really hot, and I'm going to have to bang you a few times, and then I'm still walking away. I don't think I could have a serious relationship with somebody who saves pee. I think that's a deal breaker.
No, I couldn't.
Thank you, Joe. You're a clean guy, too.
Yes.
All right, both of you, after you pee, do you both religiously wash your hands?
I do.
Do
yes.
you? Good.
Yeah.
You both do. Good.
And you know how many people don't? How many times? I've been in a restroom. I've seen a lot of people that don't wash their hands. They just walk out.
Well, that's
I know.
There's a little sign there where if you work that you must wash your hands, Joe.
Oh,
I'm sure it's strictly enforced.
Working it, but still, it's disgusting.
Well, no, I agree.
Well, that was part of my stand-up when I first started out, was that I, at the time I was a janitor, and I also worked in the building where I was the janitor. And all day long I see people coming in and out and using the bathroom. At the end of the day when I'm dumping the trash, there's one paper towel, and I'm doing the math. Ew. Ew.
Oh, see,
and I used to say after that, okay, now, you know, that's what's going on in society. So now turn to your neighbor and shake their hand, and nobody would.
There you go. Could have been. Yeah, that was all right. Good.
Yeah. You know, and they wouldn't because, ew.
So Joe and I are saying deal breaker for us.
Deal breaker.
Deal
no.
breaker.
No,
not a deal breaker for you.
I think it's out of the norm for this area, but
this area.
Well, yeah, you know,
America.
No. Not everybody in America lives like we do.
Well, they're fucking wrong.
No, but there's people who are more conservation minded.
Listen, if you're homeless, I get it. But then again, you're just pissing in an alley anyway.
No, but there are people that go to more extreme limits to save water, conserve.
I can wrap my lips around the paper straw. I had my first one like a week ago.
And you wrapped your lips around it? How was it?
It felt a little funny, but I you know, like, all right, I get it.
I wish they could see you right at that moment. You did the universal motion for blowy. You did. No. That was an awfully big straw, sir.
I didn't want to insult the straw. It's like, you know what? It's like, you know, I'll do certain things.
Yeah.
I'll recycle. But I'm not saving my piss rags. Not doing it. You know what? And the beautiful thing about this topic on my Facebook page was left and right all came together.
Oh, really? Everybody?
Yeah, you know, everybody pretty much came together on this. I think that's the one thing. See, you know, Joe, if Donald Trump would stop talking about civil wars and actually try to unite us, I think he could unite us around not saving your piss rags. I think that's a statement that would get America behind him, Joe.
That's right.
Well, you know, after the Civil War, that'll be the unifier.
Yeah. When we come together, that's when we're going to come together and go, down with the piss rags. As Americans, we will not tolerate saving of the urine.
Well, saving of the urine. I don't think it's the saving of the urine.
I'm not storing my piss.
Well, it's not storing the piss.
It is. You're storing it next to it. Then I got to wash it. And then I'm going to wash my clothes in the same washing machine where all my piss rags are. And I'm like, who's this? What, are you washing your T-shirts in there, too? I don't know what you're doing, you filthy animal.
Yeah, I don't know what
really.
You're...
Really? I don't want... Yeah, you got to wash the piss rag. Use toilet paper.
Well, I'm guessing that whatever she's storing that stuff in is neutralizing the pee part of the equation so that when it goes into the washing machine, you know, with some hot water and detergent that, you know, it's not like crapping up the rest of the load.
Listen, I just can't.
I don't know.
No. Listen, I know it's wrong. I know it's completely mental. But to me, it means you're dirty.
Oh, I don't think it's dirty.
I've been with a dirty girl. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it again. Everybody's been with a stinker.
Wait, yeah, but I mean, you don't want to be with a dirty girl?
That's different.
Oh,
but
all
I'm
right.
not bringing pee into the equation.
That's not how you rock.
Listen, I don't need a dossier written about that.
No. I mean, look, if you're into water sports, please, nobody tell me. I don't want to know
that.
No,
it's fine.
Bit.
Listen, I mean, I was watching Naked and Afraid, and a guy drank his own piss yesterday. I get it. But again, listen, if you can't afford toilet paper, I'll take the journey with you. But if you have options, you're too blind a bitch. You get those Charmin bears, you fucking wipe underneath the undercarriage, you throw it in the toilet, you move on with your day. Everybody's happy, you might get laid that way. Right now, you're all alone. Right now, you're all alone because you're a dirty girl and not the good type of dirty girl.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm not down with the, you know, using it more than once scenario.
Well, no, but then my wife's like, well, then you fold it over. And I think she was even like talking about toilet paper. Like, well, you fold it. No.
There's no
folding. Toilet paper gets one shot to do the job. Then on to the next. You know, here's what toilet paper is, and then we're going to take our break. I don't know if you guys are Star Wars fans.
No, I don't know, that
you know
enough about it.
All right. Toilet paper are stormtroopers. They're disposable. They're not Han Solo. They're not Luke Skywalker. They're not Darth Vader. They're stormtroopers. The red shirts.
Red uniform.
Yeah, you know you're dying.
Yes.
That's what it, you're not Kirk.
No.
You're not Spock.
No.
You're not even Bones or Uhura. you're sacrificing yourself because there's more just like you from central casting.
Well, at least the cloth you can't poke your fingers through, though.
There is that, but that's why you wrap around.
Yeah, but still,
yeah, that's always
that's not foolproof.
Yeah. All right. We're going to let Joe pay his respects to his friend. Joe, our condolences to you and his loved ones, and hopefully we will talk to you later. We're going to take our first break, and then we're going to come back with Mike Keegan. On the break, we got new music from Laurel Smith.